At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here in hour number two of A Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. It is our final Football Friday together in the calendar year of 2023. And what a football weekend we have in store for one final time this year. College football bowl season rolls on this Friday into a huge Saturday slate with the college football playoff on the horizon on the first day of 2024. But before we get there, a Saturday NFL game to cap off the slate tomorrow night in a full Sunday slate where we will have 14 NFL games up and down the day on New Year's Eve. For one last time in 2023, Donnie, that is our charge in these final 2 hours together to get everybody ready for all of the football they will see this weekend.
Get those news and notes ready because we are going to hand it out in style, as you said here. This is a phenomenal weekend here. And again, enjoy this stuff. The NFL is built on parity. This is exactly what the NFL wanted. It's what the fan bases wanted as well. So many things up in the air. So many things to look forward to. And even like the look ahead to week 18. You're supposed to have direct lines here. Like, okay, this team will be the number one seed. This is the two. This is the three. We just told you also the Cleveland Browns have an outside chance to get the number one overall seed still in the AFC. Yeah. I love what's going to take place this weekend across the board. Can't wait to get it started.
So many playoff clinching scenarios here entering the week 17 weekend, the second to last of this NFL regular season. Read through the literature. We'll try to break it down for you as easily as possible here over the final 2 hours of this Football Friday. And to do that, let's welcome in everybody, including that Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number two of a Football Friday live on TEL. You're listening on Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. I am Ben. He is Donnie. And yesterday, not at practice, was Trevor Lawrence. It has been an injury laden last month for Jacksonville's quarterback. He has played and started in every game in his NFL career. First, it was the ankle sprain. Then it was the concussion protocol that he emerged out of last weekend for the Jags. But he got injured in that game, a shoulder injury. C.J. Beathard came in as Jacksonville was routed in Tampa 30-12. The Jaguars still in that first place position in the AFC South, trying to hold off both Indianapolis and Houston. Donnie, what do you make of Jacksonville this weekend with or without Trevor Lawrence as a pretty hefty home favorite against Carolina?
This has got to be painstaking here for Jacksonville because as you look at it, and again, they're still ranking the schedules even though they have two games left. They're 32nd in the NFL in strength of schedule, Jacksonville, because you can't pick two perfect opponents at the end of the season for what Jacksonville has. But it's only two perfect opponents. If you're playing decent football, you should roll over Carolina. Yeah. You should pound the Tennessee Titans. But at the same time, we don't know what we're getting out of Jacksonville. This isn't leaking oil anymore. This is an absolute, you know, mess across the highway here at this point. I'm not healthy here on, or should I say, the expectations aren't healthy for me on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. You have a quarterback, Ben, that we started with what? An ankle injury, then a concussion, and then a sprained shoulder. It's not like, hey, man, this is throwing shoulder that is sprained here. I don't expect anything this weekend out of Trevor Lawrence, which means you're going to C.J. Beathard. Good luck on that, even against lowly teams like the Titans and the Panthers on the horizon. I still think they win the division because they have something to play for the other teams don't. But my goodness, this should be a walk in the park for them, Ben.
Yeah, that scoring defense for Jacksonville has been atrocious. The passing defense for the Jaguars has been terrible. Fourth worst passing defense at this moment in the National Football League, lit up by Baker Mayfield a week ago. Is Bryce Young and Carolina able to accomplish that this weekend? We will see. Carolina, one of two teams in the NFL to be booked as an underdog in every single game this year, the Panthers and the Cardinals. Carolina, though, has covered in three of their last four games. Now 4-9-2 against the number as an underdog. Jacksonville this year, Donnie, the story, 8-7 both straight up and against the number. When they win, they cover. When they lose, they certainly do not. Six of those eight wins and covers booked as the favorite side. But at home in Duval County this year, just 2-5. ATS. The story for me isn't even really Trevor Lawrence or CJ Beathard in this game to guide Jacksonville just to an outright win, booked as a 6-point home favorite. How does that defense look against a Carolina offense that for the most part has sputtered this season outside of the second half last week against Green Bay? A couple of weeks ago, Jacksonville was an 8-3 football team, booked as a minus 1,000 favorite to make it two consecutive AFC South championships. They have lost four straight games. If you remember a season ago, Jacksonville won its final five regular season games. Tennessee struggled down the stretch, losing six in a row for the Jags to come all the way back and claim the AFC South. Are we going to see a reverse of fortune in 2023? Jacksonville still booked as a slight odds-on favorite, courtesy of that easiest schedule in the NFL, minus 168, to win the AFC South. As we keep it rolling here, quarterback questions for the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. But Mike Tomlin telling reporters earlier this week, Donnie, Mason Rudolph is, quote, scheduled to be, end quote, the starter for their matchup against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday out in the Pacific Northwest. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Hawks. Seattle can clinch a playoff berth with the win over Pittsburgh and a tie on Sunday Night Football between Green Bay and Minnesota.
This is an interesting game. This might be one of the hardest handicaps of the week because you're trying to judge on what you've seen over the past couple weeks. The Pittsburgh Steelers were absolutely horrendous. Then all of a sudden, Mason Rudolph comes in. It's like, hey, we found gold again. Our offense is legitimate. The Seattle Seahawks should have lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, should have lost to the lowly Tennessee Titans, but didn't. They won both of those games in comeback fashion. I think this line is perfect at 3.5 because it wants me to take another bite out of the apple for the Pittsburgh Steelers, figuring that their defense will hold them in this football game, and Mason if he plays anything like he did the week before and can be a competent quarterback, you have weapons to move the football. And then if you're taking a look again at Seattle, how many more times can you go down to the wire and need a touchdown or a field goal drive at the end of a game to win it for yourself against opponents that, you know, you might have struggled with that maybe you shouldn't have done that here? You take a look at the total 41 in this game. I think we get points here. I honestly do. Because if Mason Rudolph is average, the Steelers should be able to get close to 20. The Seattle team should be able at home in a clinching environment, should be able to approach 20 points. That puts you right in that ballpark here. So forget about the side. Hey, Mason, give me touchdowns and interceptions. That's not too hard to ask for.
Yeah. The Steelers, three straight overs for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is both 5-4 straight up and against the number as an underdog this season. If they are going to keep it close, they are going to win outright. That's what the trends say when Pittsburgh is booked as an underdog. That's what we know from the very large 17-year sample size now under Mike Tomlin. It is so fascinating, this game, Donnie, much like last weekend on Saturday at home against the Bengals. It just screams Steelers. Seattle as a favorite, though, 6-1 straight up this year, 3-2-2 against the number, which means that they will have an opportunity to win this football game outright. That's what they've done as the favored side, but can they cover with that nasty old hook out there on that flat number of 3? More Week 17 previews coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We get you set for week number 17 of this NFL regular season. A marquee matchup to come on Saturday night in prime time at the Star in Dallas between the Cowboys and the Lions. And then 14 games on Sunday, otherwise known as New Year's Eve. Donnie, I started reading the playoff clinching scenarios for all teams around the National Football League as we enter this week 17 weekend slate. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, who have won three straight following their bye week, I got to line about five of the clinching scenarios for Buffalo, and then I said, I'll just wait to see what happens at the end of the game in Western New York on Sunday against the New England Patriots, where Buffalo is booked as a hefty favorite, laying near two touchdowns, 13.5 against New England. Let's not forget, Buffalo was a hefty favorite at the end of October against these Patriots in Foxborough, and they lost that game outright 29-25. Donnie, you mentioned the bounce-back spot for San Francisco in Washington this week against the Commanders following the 49ers' loss to Baltimore on Christmas Day. I think this is a bounce-back spot within the division for Buffalo against New England, and I think we see some points on Sunday afternoon in Orchard Park.
It's too many points for me here to lay. Now, it's a division game. It's double digits. Yes, we know it is a revenge game because the Buffalo Bills lost earlier to the New England Patriots. But take a look. Get those binoculars out and look just over the horizon there, Ben. You know who sits there? The Miami Dolphins in South Beach with a legitimate chance possibly to win the AFC East. So does that mean that the Buffalo Bills don't care about this game and will lose and the Dolphins win? Now they can't win it? No, that doesn't not what it means. They're going to win this football game. But you try to tell me late in this game, is the focus going to turn on to, hey, Josh, maybe don't we need you running for that extra first down. James Cook had a good day, buddy. Let's shut it down and give some of these other kids a chance here in the fourth quarter because we really need you for next week. And how about the Zap Daddy over there for the New England Patriots? Last three games, Ben, passer ratings of 115, 85, and 117. I think the Patriots keep this game close. They don't win, but they cover because why? The Buffalo Bills are looking ahead to the Miami Dolphins with that big picture in mind of, hey, you know what? No doubt. We might be able to get some home games here in Western New York and see if we can actually make the Super Bowl this time around.
Yeah, absolutely so. If Buffalo does do that, because Buffalo beat Miami back in the opening month of this season, the Bills, of course, would have the season sweep over the Finns. That would be the ultimate tiebreaker, but they would need Miami to lose on the road on Sunday in the marquee matchup week 17 against the Baltimore Ravens to have that winner-take-all game for the division. Now, Buffalo has not been good as north of a touchdown favorite this year, as we saw last week surviving in SoFi on Saturday night against the LA Chargers. As more than a touchdown favorite this year, the Bills are 2-5 against the number. They've actually lost twice outright, including against this Patriots team back on October 22nd. New England as an underdog this year, 3-7-1 against the spread. All three of those covers as an underdog. The three wins that New England has had outright as an underdog as well, including at home against the Buffalo Bills. We brought you the update earlier on in the show. CJ Stroud is finally cleared concussion protocol after missing the last two games for Houston. He is expected to start for the Texans back at home on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. Before he officially cleared, Donnie, the line was 4.5 in favor of Houston at home. That's where the line remains. In an AFC South divisional duel, the Texans still in the running for an AFC wild card spot and, of course, still very much in the heat of that AFC South divisional chase.
Now, hear me out on this. This is going to come down to who's actually going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans this weekend for me. As I look at it right now, as long as it's not Malik Willis, I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans and the 4.5 points here. Do I think Houston can win the game? Sure, I do. If C.J. Stroud comes back and is healthy and hasn't missed a beat, of course, they're playing for something the Titans aren't. But here's the thing interesting about Mike Vrabel teams. Just go over that five-game stretch here. Some of those games included where they're technically still available for a playoff race and a division title, and some of those games they've already been eliminated. Carolina game, 1-17-10. Indianapolis lost 31-28. Miami game 1-28-27. Houston lost 19-16. Last week lost 20-17. You see where we're going here, Ben? No matter what, you're going to get a great effort out of the Tennessee Titans, and it feels like a field goal game either way for me. And again, it's a football Friday. We're setting the table for Sunday. Hear me out on this. If it's Malik Willis, I'm completely out. I don't think the Tennessee Titans will be able to do much. But if it is Tannehill or Levis, I do think the Tennessee Titans are going to be able to fight them and keep this game close.
The Titans have been a great underdog under Mike Vrabel this year in 2023, 5-6-1 against the number, keeping things tight against Seattle a weekend ago. Houston has been awful as the favorite this year, Donnie. 1-5 against the spread as the favorite, just 3-3 straight up. The Texans are 8-7. The Jaguars are 8-7 straight up, as are the Indianapolis Colts, who return home this weekend to take on those Las Vegas Raiders, who have been feisty under Antonio Pierce. 3.5 is the spread in favor of Indy. Donnie, who do you give the edge to on Sunday in Indianapolis?
Again, we're taking a look at some practice reports that'll be coming out a little bit later today. Michael Pittman being the utmost importance here for me if I'm looking to back the Colts. I need to get that outside weapon to open up some of those running game and running lanes and room for Gardner Minshew to operate. I love what I saw out of the Raiders here. And also, one of those teams, again, still fighting for Antonio Pierce. Might you win another big game here? He is going to be the coach of the Raiders for the foreseeable future. It's tough to go on the road, and I understand this too. That was an emotional game the Vegas Raiders just had, going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, losers of 7 straight games to the Chiefs coming into that one. It was an emotional victory. It was on the road. You're going to have to get up for another game against the Colts, who absolutely need this game. I don't love the Colts in this situation, but again, same way I just viewed that Tennessee Titans game. If I get the right situation health-wise, which means Pittman is playing, I'll take the Colts at home to upend the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Colts have won 5 of their last 7 games, and they have covered in all 5 of those wins, booked as the short favorite. This is the largest spread at 3.5. They have also gone over in 10 of 15 games this year, total at 42.5. The Raiders under Antonio Pierce, now 4-3 straight up after the upset in Kansas City on Christmas to start off that triple header, 5-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. Cincy looking at Las Vegas and trying to pull off the same feat this Sunday in Arrowhead. The Bengals and the Chiefs, a budding AFC rivalry, where Cincy had won 3 straight against Kansas City entering last year's AFC Championship game, where the Chiefs got the last laugh, at least in 2022. Kansas City, Donnie, booked as a full touchdown favorite at home against the Bengals, who suffered their first loss, or at least ending a 3-game win streak under Jake Browning last week on the road in Pittsburgh. The Bengals trying to stay in the heat of that AFC wild card race, but I look more at Kansas City's side, Donnie. I've given them the benefit of the doubt all year long that eventually they were going to figure things out. I'm not sure I have that rope anymore.
And by the way, in a game which a lot of their players were injured last week, which includes Isaiah Pacheco, who to me is the engine that runs that team. It used to be Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, no longer. Travis Kelce a little bit longer in the tooth. Tyreek Hill obviously in Miami, and Patrick Mahomes seemed running for his life. You know, you don't run for your life and hand the football off and get large chunks on first down to keep yourself in front of the sticks here. I'm having a hard time believing that the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-point favorites. And this coming from, I don't think Cincinnati is all that great, and particularly Cincinnati is having one of their worst defensive outputs over the past decade here. And that doesn't help when you take on a team like Kansas City, who absolutely needs to win this game just to get some confidence back. But if you did watch the game last week, yes, it was embarrassing for Kansas City, but they gave the Raiders 14 points. Now, granted, still owns up on the scoreboard. It's still Kansas City that's struggling to find its way on offense. But if they don't hand the football over for 14 points, they probably win last week. This is one of those lines you look at to yourself and say, are you trying to bait me here? Because if this line is 6.5, oh my goodness, everybody's taking the Chiefs. And then you wind up and say, I've watched the Chiefs play for the past month. They're terrible in offense. And yet I just bet them again to win and cover by close to a touchdown.
Said that so many times this year. This is the spot that Kansas City gets right. This is the time the Chiefs show that offensive excellence. I'm not sure I'm buying in. KC, 9-6 straight up this year. They've been booked as the favorite in every game. They have covered 7 times. They have pushed once, and they have not covered in those 9 wins against the Jets just once back in week number 4. The last time Cincinnati was booked as an underdog, a double-digit dog against Jacksonville on Monday night, they won outright. Just over a month ago. We'll go with some pace around week 17 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Week 17 NFL Preview with Haste, live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie, and Mike Blewett now joins us as the man in the middle here on this Football Friday on TEL. Blue, we appreciate the time as always. Hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. Hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend to come. I get all the pleasantries out of the way because, Mike Blewett, we got six games to break down across a jam-packed Sunday slate, week number 17. Are you ready to fly around, my friend?
Ooh, I'm ready to do it. We're going to celebrate New Year's Day together, going through the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. So excited to get these NFL games out of the way so you and I can celebrate in person.
We love the college football playoff, no doubt about it. New Year's Eve, though, a jam-packed Sunday slate in the NFL. 14 games on New Year's Eve, the final Sunday of 2023. Blue, five NFC games to come. Let's finish with one final AFC game we will talk about here on TEL. In Denver on Sunday, of course, the change at quarterback. Jared Stidham gets the start for the Broncos. Russell Wilson now makes his way to the bench, and they take on the LA Chargers, led by Easton Stidham. Despite all of the drama in Denver, the Broncos remain a 3.5-point home favorite on Sunday afternoon in Mile High. But what's the approach of this game between the Broncos and the Bolts?
It's what happens at the end of the year, right? You're trying to figure out where teams' heads are at. I think the Chargers have looked like one of the teams that's the most checked out. They've now fired everyone in the building, and people know that they're not coming back, and I think changes are to be made. Obviously, we're going to see a significant change in Denver as well, but the totality of the roster, some of the key players, will likely remain. And Jared Stidham, I don't know that this is much more of a proving ground. I think we all know what's at the heart of this change to Jared Stidham. It's more financial than it is to increase the plays. The one thing I didn't really appreciate that Sean Payton is doing here, he tried to say that it was to provide a spark in the offense, and we know that that's not the case. So what I would say here is that I have to go with the team that's played better football straight up. That is the Denver Broncos. I don't expect a lot out of Jared Stidham, but I've expected zero out of the Chargers, and credit to Easton Stick for keeping it tight with Buffalo, but after that loss, I don't know if they have much more fight in them. This is a very banged-up football team, and they're going on the road in Denver, typically not a great place to play. But again, this is one of the tougher ones on the board. I'll lay the 3.5 here, but I think that is a key number. So if you wanted to get involved in a teaser, I think Denver is a team that you can look at.
One of those games, Mike, I take a look at to myself and I say with Russell Wilson, wouldn't it be funny if Stidham goes in there and starts and is absolutely terrible, but that was the spark that we were looking for heading into the offseason for Denver, a lot going around. Let's take a look at the Battle of the Birds here in Philadelphia. Arizona going to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. So one thing we know about the Eagles, they'll win football games. They just don't like beating teams by double digits here. This line currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a -11.5 for the Philadelphia Eagles, a 48 total. Kyler Murray under the weather this weekend and coming east. Mike, what do you think about this game between the Cards and the Birds?
I think there's an interesting dynamic here because of the Jonathan Gannon situation, right? I think what some people are focusing on with the Philadelphia Eagles is how poor their defense has been year over year with Jonathan Gannon, now the head coach in Arizona. So does he bring anything to the table? Can he unlock some things for his team to help prevent the Eagles from scoring? I just think this is too many points. Delay, Donnie. I don't have a lot of faith in the Cardinals at all, but the Eagles laying nearly 12 points to anybody at this point seems a little crazy. The way I would attack it, though, is I do like the Eagles to score here, so give me an Eagles team total versus having to lay 11.5 points and or bet on the Cardinals, who are, they've had a lot of fight in them. They're just not a good team at all.
Right now, Arizona has been booked as an underdog in all 15 games, 7-8 against the spread. Philly has been booked as more than a 6-point favorite 4 times this year, not a single cover in that span as well. An interesting game in Chicago on Sunday. It's the Bears and the Atlanta Falcons. The Dirty Birds still in the running for that NFC South divisional crown. Chicago booked as a 3-point favorite at home in Soldier Field. Blue, that key number of 3, that flat field goal number, just how important is it going to be in the Windy City on Sunday?
We talked a lot about on this show who the most difficult team in the NFL is to bet on, and I think I said in the past it was the Titans had the had a, like a 4-year run of being the most difficult team to bet on. Still not easy. Then it went over to the Chargers as we try to figure them out. Now they've fired everyone. And I just feel like the Atlanta Falcons are trying to wrestle that crown away from the Chargers. They're impossible to figure out week over week. And yet this is a week where I think they can get it done. The Bears just still have too many holes for me. Their defense has played a lot better, but I expect a very low-scoring game here. My way to attack this game is I think you're looking for team total unders here. 37.5 is a low number, but I don't expect points here. I think these teams are just going to try and take away the Justin Fields rushing attack and try to limit Bijan and Tyler Allgeier on the Atlanta side.
Mike, Tommy Cutlets here, down for the season. Not injured, just not good at playing the quarterback spot. Back to Tyrod Taylor we go for those New York Giants as they take on the Los Angeles Rams. Line in this game opened up as a 6.5-point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook in favor of the road team, the Los Angeles Rams, that has now dipped to 5.5 in a total that's coming in at 43.5. Tough part about this game for the Rams is I think they win this game, but on the horizon could be an epic battle with the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe a look-ahead spot here. What are we getting out of the Giants this week versus the Rams here, Mike?
I actually like points in this game. For those that are not in on the East Coast, this is unseasonably warm. It's going to be 50 degrees in Baltimore, 46 degrees in New York. No rain. It's been raining for days, but no rain expected on Sunday. I think Tyrod comes in here and is able to provide a little bit of a spark offensively. Stafford and crew have been really sharp lately. Nacua putting on an all-time wide receiver rookie seasonal performance, and I do expect points here. 43.5, I think, is too low. I think both teams are in the 20s in this game.
Yeah, when you look at where things are for LA, they've been a really good favorite this year. 6-2 against the spread, covering by an average margin of more than 6 points per game. The NFC South is up for grabs this weekend between Tampa Bay and New Orleans. The Buccaneers booked as a 2.5-point home favorite, the over-under 42.5. With a victory, the Bucs win the NFC South for a second consecutive season. Last year, Tom Brady was the quarterback. This year in 2023, it's Baker Mayfield. So Mike Blewett, tell us, does Tampa Bay take home the divisional crown on Sunday afternoon?
I believe they do. Baker's, guys, has been awesome lately. There's no other way to say it. He's got 10 touchdown passes and one pick in his last four games. He's just been really sharp. I think it's a good thing for it's obviously a good thing for his career. There's a possible way to extend Baker at a discount here, and he could be Tampa's quarterback, bridge quarterback for some period of time. I think he's going to get it done. I just do not like what I've seen out of the Saints at all. And I just think that Baker's in a position to lock this thing up. 2.5 is fine with me. I'll lay the field goal, but I like Tampa to get a home victory. I just felt like New Orleans has been a mess. I don't think this is the right coach for this group. I don't know that Carr was the right signing for them, but it's really been a mess to watch them recently. They've played some low-scoring slog games, and I think they could make this one. But I just like the way Baker's playing right now. So ride the hot hand with Baker at QB.
Slim divisional hopes here, hopefully, for the New Orleans Saints. But I'm actually kind of surprised that that line is sitting under 3 at this point with how well Tampa's played and being a home team against a dome team. We'll see how it plays out. Green Bay, Minnesota, way to kick off the new year here with a rivalry up there in the NFC North and also playoff implications all the way around. But how about this? Minnesota making the quarterback change to Jaren Hall, the rookie here, to take on Jordan Love. They're a slight favorite at -1.5 points here for Minnesota. What are we getting out of the young kid versus Green Bay, or is it just going to be a Green Bay night for you, Mike?
I think it's a Green Bay night for me, but I say that with a little bit tentatively because they're a difficult team right now to trust. They've been very up and down lately. We had a 3-game stretch where we're like, all right, Jordan Love's our guy. And then the offense starts falling apart. Their defense has been the issue for Green Bay for a long period of time. I think there's a lot of buzzards circling Joe Barry to see if he's going to be the defensive coordinator long-term here. But a rookie quarterback in this spot, I It's too hard for me to trust. They did not trust him to take over this starting job for the last 2 months. Yes, he was in, and then he got knocked out of a game due to injury, but they trade for Josh Dobbs. Nick Mullins is in, throwing interceptions constantly, and now they're like, well, Jaren Hall's our guy. I think it's a move of desperation for them.
Yeah.
Very talented team. I just don't see him being able to come in a huge spot against a divisional rival and get the victory. I like Jordan Love in this one.
Listen, if you're a rookie quarterback looking to get your legs wet in the National Football League, playing a Joe Barry defense at this moment, now without Jair Alexander, on top of all of that, serving a one-game suspension in Sunday Night Football in the Twin Cities, it's a way to go. Green Bay has allowed, on average, over its last three games, more than 400 yards of total offense to its opposition. And in terms of the points allowed, Green Bay has scored at least 19 points in seven straight games. They have also given up at least 19 points to its opposing offense in seven straight games. 43.5 for a total will hinge on Jaren Hall and what the rookie out of BYU can do at the QB spot for the Vikes. I like some points, though, on Sunday Night Football in Minneapolis between the Vikings and the Packers, two NFC North teams, a game below 500 at 7-8. That's how you fly around, and we do all of that to set the stage for the two marquee matchups and what it means in Week 17. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 17 is jam-packed full of football here to end out 2023. Not the regular season, just the calendar year. Two marquee matchups that will dot the slate. One tomorrow night in Dallas between the Cowboys and the Lions, and one that might decide the AFC's number one overall seed for the postseason. I am Ben, he is Donnie, and Mike Blewett back for a second consecutive segment live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Blue, we start with the marquee matchup, a part of the early window on Sunday, New Year's Eve. In Baltimore, it's the Ravens and the Dolphins. With the victory, Baltimore claims the AFC North divisional crown in the AFC's number one overall seed. The Ravens favor to do that, laying 3.5 points. The over-under currently stands at 46.5. Mike Blewett, another game of the year feel, two for it. For the Dolphins, in back-to-back weeks. What is your breakdown in Baltimore on Sunday?
Well, the good thing for the NFL is that whoever wins this game and whoever earns the number one seed in the AFC really will have earned it. The Ravens closing with at Niners, Miami, and Pittsburgh, and the Dolphins having to do in Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo trifecta to close it. Great games, a lot on the line here. It's just that the Dolphins at this moment, I think Baltimore's a better team, and the Dolphins are also pretty banged up. A lot of guys on the injury report at the moment for the Dolphins: Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert not practicing, just a number of different, Jalen Waddle obviously going to be out of this game, just a lot of different guys banged up at the moment. I don't think they're going into this game with the full complement of – they're certainly not going into this game with the full complement of players. Some stats on this, too. Baltimore, 8-2 against Miami, historically against the number. 8-2 at home versus AFC East teams. 6-1 against winning record teams this season. Miami on the flip side, 7-3 on the road. So they have been good on the road. Like I said, the weather isn't going to be a factor here. Should be 50 degrees and dry. That's a good – beat for the Miami Dolphins. I just don't think they're healthy enough right now, going up against a Baltimore team that has proven themselves to be the best team in the league right now. To go on the road and beat the Niners like that, nobody has a win like that. It's the best win of the season. Is there a possible emotional dip for the Ravens? Maybe, but they're not the type of team. John Harbaugh's not the type of coach that I think will let that happen. They can put it away this weekend and conceivably rest players against Pittsburgh if they want. I don't know if they want to take 2 weeks off. It's not always the prudent move, but I like the Ravens here. I just think they're the better team, but I really would love to see a tight competitive game here. I think that's possible we'll get one.
Yeah, I don't think we have a letdown situation for the Ravens, Mike. If we're taking a look at like weeks 9 or 10, like, okay, we still have a long way to go. Nice win. Boy, we really got up for that one, but now we might be a little bit unfocused. You know, you hit the nail on the head saying you're at home on New Year's Eve. You win, you're the number one overall seed in the AFC, and Lamar Jackson probably picks up the MVP award. But if we keep the focus on this game and maybe in some, you know, extracurriculars, as I like to say, because the MVP is going to be big here. If you're telling me the Miami Dolphins go on the road to Tagovailoa, multiple guys injured, Waddle not playing, comes out of there with the victory, he's going to rocket up that leaderboard and also with a chance maybe to overtake Lamar Jackson if he beats him this weekend and then follows it up with a win against the Buffalo Bills at home on the final day of the season, which quite frankly would give Miami the number one overall seed in the AFC. From a points perspective in this game, are we looking at a total to the over here, or could this be one of those games where Miami just doesn't have it on offense just because they're not healthy enough to have it on offense?
I think 46.5 is very telling that that's what the number is, right? Because if we had, if there was an expectation that these offenses are going to trade punches all day, we'd be looking at the total that we're seeing on Saturday night between Detroit and Dallas somewhere in the 50s. We're not seeing that right now, and I think it's depressing the total to some extent. I think the Ravens defense probably is able to make enough plays to keep this total down, but they have to contend with Tyreek Hill, and teams, even a somewhat compromised Tyreek Hill has put better defenses to shame in the past. So I think we probably are right around that number, Nani. I'd lean towards the under only because I think the Ravens can make a few plays here and make it uncomfortable for Tua. Just having Tua hold on to the ball longer, there's a very, very big difference in his statistical production when he's able to release the ball very quickly. He's got the quickest release in the league on average. But when you're able to keep him in the pocket, keep him from scrambling, and make him hold on to the ball longer, those stats drop pretty dramatically. But to your point about the MVP race, if Tua does pull off this victory, he's going to move into the lead. He's plus 800 right now, Lamar minus 200. Yeah. It would be a massive swing, but then he does need to beat Buffalo as well.
Josh Allen tied for the third best price alongside Tua Tagovailoa, Christian McCaffrey a dollar in front of both Allen and Tagovailoa at 7-1. Lamar Jackson, the hefty odds-on favorite at minus 200. Let's also remember the Dolphins component of their clinching scenarios entering Week 17. If they can pull off the upset outright on the road in the Charm City, they clinch the AFC East and would be in a great spot to be that number one overall seed in the AFC. They clinch the AFC East with a win over Baltimore or a Buffalo loss to New England, but the Bills are booked as a 13.5 home favorite against those New England Patriots. Miami was an underdog in its first game of the year on the road in LA against the Chargers. Tua threw for over 400 yards. They won the game outright as a field goal underdog. From that point, they've been a dog only three times against Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Kansas City. Two road games and the game in Frankfurt. They have not covered in any of those three games as a dog. They have lost by an average margin of more than 16 points per game, losing by a touchdown at least in all three. Blue, let's look at these two teams and their overall outlook the rest of the way. Baltimore, the favorites to win the AFC Championship at 2-1. Miami, that second best price at plus 360. Despite the Ravens going into Santa Clara and hammering the Niners on Monday night, San Francisco still remains the favorite to win the Super Bowl at plus 220. Baltimore, the second best price at plus 450. Blewett, how do you see these two teams, that being Baltimore and Miami, and their outlook to really make some noise and be Super Bowl contenders come next month?
By the way, I do think the odds make sense for San Francisco edging everybody else because right now the assumed path in the NFC is just easier than the assumed path in the AFC. Baltimore will have to contend. Say Baltimore wins this game, they lock up the number one seed. They're still potentially going to have to play Buffalo or Kansas City or Miami again, teams that on any given night can throw up 30 or 40 points on you. It's going to be a difficult path for them. In terms of the way these two teams shake out, like I said earlier, Baltimore's got the best win. I think they're playing great. All the questions I had regarding the Baltimore Ravens going into this season were whether their pass rush could be effective, it has been, and whether this offensive line could hold up for Lamar. And it is banged up. They've been interestingly using a rotation of offensive linemen, giving Ronnie Stanley breaks at times so that he's not having to play a full game, taking his practice workload off of him. So they've been finding a way to work around it. There's some historical stuff with Lamar in the playoffs that isn't great, but I do think that this team and Zay Flowers has been a great boost for them offensively. I think they're getting through it. Their injuries that they've suffered have not been as crucial as what Miami is seeing with a Jaylen Waddle and what obviously teams like Cincinnati have seen along the way. Buffalo's defensive injuries have hurt them to some extent, but you know, this is going to be tricky in the AFC, but I think Baltimore right now, I know we're talking favorites right now, but it would be hard. It's going to be a very difficult task to go on the road and win a playoff game in Baltimore.
It's going to be a fun one, certainly, to watch that play out. But before we even get to that game, Saturday night's main event. No, we're not talking about Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man, Randy Savage. We're talking about Detroit and Dallas. Jared Goff, Dak Prescott. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Mike, 4.5 points. We saw it spike as high as 6. Now it's back to 4.5 and a total of 52.5. For me, I think it's a get-right spot here for the Dallas Cowboys. I think we get points. But from your perspective, could the Lions be able to creep into Dallas and send them to their third straight loss?
I think they could, but it's such a huge accomplishment for the Lions to win a divisional title for the first time in 30 years. This is the type of game where teams have emotional letdowns. They're not that good on the road. They've accomplished something they haven't accomplished in 30 years as a franchise. You saw how emotional Jared Goff was after the game the other day. And they're playing a team that, for all the slings and arrows that we send the way of the Dallas Cowboys, it's still a very talented team, and they're particularly good at home. They're 6-1 at home. They're favored in all their home games this year against the numbers. 7-0 is a short favorite of 7 or less. They're 13-2 after a straight-up loss in their last 15 losses. So they've been very good bouncing back under Mike McCarthy and with Dak. On the flip side, the Detroit numbers look pretty good as well, Donnie. 11-3-1 as an underdog, 12-3 with a total of 45 or more, which is the most interesting component here. What keeps jumping out to me is the 4.5 number. Yes, I do think this is a get-right spot for Dallas, but are they going to win by a touchdown? I don't know. I think this is a tight one. I think we're going to have a really good game tomorrow night. I think this can go down to the wire, fourth quarter type of game. I'll give Dallas the victory, but right now I will take the points. I think this can be a little bit of a letdown for the Lions, but I need to see Dallas's defense can really make some plays here with Jahmyr Gibbs' ascension as a big explosive player here. They've got a lot to deal with Gibbs, Montgomery, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and others, Laporta. I just think this is a high-scoring game and that the Lions will keep it close, but I do give the victory to Dallas.
On the road for Detroit, but still indoors, the largest total of the weekend at 52.5. It's funny to say, Detroit won its first divisional crown in 3 decades. It was a ceremonious Christmas weekend in the Motor City. But Detroit often was the underdog. Only twice this year. They won on opening night in Kansas City, got hammered in the middle of October in Baltimore. Prior to that, they were an underdog in 28 of the first 34 games Dan Campbell was the head coach for in Detroit in 2021 and 2022. And they were damn good as a dog, 19-9 against the spread. Dallas, of course, has won 15 consecutive games at home. It does feel like that get-right spot for the Cowboys. Blue, you mentioned the path through the AFC, how difficult it is going to be. 4 teams in the NFC that have already won double-digit games entering Week 17. Detroit has claimed the NFC North. San Francisco has won the NFC West. Still a little bit to iron out in the NFC East, but the Birds remain a hefty favorite. When we look at the seeds to be that number one spot in the NFC, Blue, at this moment, San Francisco, despite the loss to Baltimore, greater than a $4 favorite to be that top overall seed. How critical is being the one seed in the NFC going to be?
I think it's really important for the Niners. Philly's not going to want be on the road, and Detroit's been a flat-out bad road team at times. It's going to be a huge victory for whomever brings that down. I think the Niners have it because you're chalking up basically an easy win this week against the Commanders. Although I would love to see a Rams-Niners slugfest next week.
Mike Blewett, we appreciate the time as always. Have a wonderful new year, and I'll see you on the first day of it on that college football playoff semifinal bonanza. We're back on TEL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, ending out our second hour on a Football Friday, the final Football Friday of 2023 on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben, he is Donnie, and whether it's 2023, 2024, 2044, the Sports Grid app is always going to be there. You can download it at this at the Apple and the Play Store, or scan the QR code on your screen. All of our insight and information with you as you enter a new year. Make it the best year you can, and have the Spiz Grizz app along for the ride. We love hearing from the people. We love hearing from everybody out there as we enter a new holiday weekend. We will do that right here on a huge football weekend to end out 2023 and into the first day of 2024 and fade the public. At Sports Grid TV on Twitter, which game are you most excited for? It is a jam-packed football weekend. Four college football bowl games on this Friday. A packed Saturday slate of college football bowl games as well, capped off by Detroit and Dallas at the Star on Saturday night in primetime. A full Sunday on New Year's Eve, 14 NFL games, and then, of course, the college football playoff semifinal on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2024. Which game are you most excited for? Dolphins and the Ravens, the marquee matchup of Week 17 that could decide the AFC's number one overall seed on Sunday. Michigan-Alabama, the first of the semifinals on Monday in New Year's Day, otherwise known as the Rose Bowl. Washington versus Texas in the nightcap at the Sugar Bowl, or other. Most people going with the granddaddy of them all, near 45%. Michigan-Alabama. Donnie right side here in the Fade the Public poll.
Yeah, and it's going to be a good one here, and it's a close one, 45% to 35%. I'm going to tease this and wait, Ben, because you might think I'm an NFL guy. You might think I love college football at times. Which way did DRS vote in this conversation? Find out next, Ben. How about that tease?
I'm going to think about it as we enter this short break, but hour three starts in less than a minute.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.